We're going to start to learn different tires from a labeler for the next few months.
Maybe
2 months. And to give a taste in some of the major themes that Reb Labeler deals with, and it could generally be done from parasha to parasha. Reb Labeler has a certain mahalach. It's enclosed in different brilliant insights. He was, with all this sweetness, you could sometimes lose sight of the brilliance. The brilliance is absolutely spectacular. All the depth of Kutsk and Ishbitz is in Reb Labeler, but the gentleness and the sweetness, you could almost lose the nakuda, that's like a blitz, like a sharpness. But the sharpness has been so softened that it's very unusual for that world of the Polish Chassidus of Kutsk, of Kutsk and Ishbitz. It's very unusual. I mentioned this in the first or second discussion that we had about Reb Labeler, that although he and the Kohen, Reb Tzadik, learned by the Meir Shilach, the Torahs are very different, and Reb Labeler was asked, and he said that the difference between myself and the Kohen is that one of us heard what the Rebbe said, and the other one heard how the Rebbe said it. And the understanding was that Reb Labeler was how the Rebbe just said it. The Kohen was the strength of the contents, the sharpness, the bekiyas, the breadth of knowledge. And Reb Labeler, you can almost lose the brilliance in the warmth and the edelkeit and the gentleness of his whole style. And as I said last week, how every single Torah of Reb Labeler is a tefillah. But the main points, Shabbos, Emuna, Kedushas HaBris, sanctity when it comes to personal relationships. These are subjects that are over and over discussed by Reb Labeler. And when it's tzaddikim, simple faith in tzaddikim, in belief in the tzaddikim, in the rabbis, and so on. So we're going to see this in different parashiyos, and you have to try to appreciate the brilliance of his chidushim, of his insights, together with the warmth of his Torah. Probably one of my favorite pieces in this week's parasha. So I wanted to start with it, and then we're going to focus on the one that really is more what we need to concentrate on right now. But on the first page there, you know, in this week's parasha, we have the whole remarkable episode of Yaakov deceiving, so it seems, deceiving his father and going in for the bracha. And the Torah tells us, if you see there on the left hand side, Vayorech Esreach Begodav, it says that when he walked in, of course Yitzchak couldn't see who it was. It's clear from the Chumash that Yitzchak suspected something. Something was going on. And it says that when he walked in, Vayarech Esreach Begodav, that Yitzchak was able to smell the odor, the fragrance of his clothing, of Yaakov's clothing. And then he said, Re'eh Re'eh Beni, he says, behold, the smell of my son is like the smell of the sod of the field. So, Reb Labeler writes, this is a small little piece, and we're only going to do the first part of the second part, is a little bit up in Kabbalah, it's not for us. Lahavin masha b'tchila nema reach begodav, ula besov reach b'ni. First, Yitzchak Avinu said, I smell the fragrance of his clothing. He says, he smelled the fragrance of begodav, of his garments. And then afterwards he said, Rei Reach Beni, the smell of my son. He says, Yorah, this teaches us, Ki Ba'eis Shaholach Yaakov Avinu Olav Shom La'aviv, that when Yaakov Avinu went in to his father, when he had to go in to his father for the brachas, he was sent by his mother to go, V'shina Es Begodav, and he had to disguise himself. Shlo yakir oso, so that his father shouldn't recognize him. Hayalibo nishbar bikirbo. His heart was totally shattered. His heart was broken. His heart was broken that he had, that he was sent. He was Yaakov. You have to remember, Yaakov is the embodiment of truth. Yaakov is titan emes liyaakov. Yaakov is the. This isn't like one of us that would try to be good people, and occasionally, you know, we're in a position we have to compromise on our honesty. We would become very uncomfortable. We might feel very guilty and upset. Yaakov was not just an honest person. He is the manifestation of God's honesty and straightness in this world. That's him. So Yaakov, who possesses this midah, who is the embodiment of God's truth, has to lie. He has to do something which is deceptive, even if it's not an out-and-out lie, but it's something which is clearly deceptive. So it says, that he had to disguise himself. He had to disguise himself before his holy father, that he shouldn't recognize him. You see, the word, Chazal already told us this, that the word beged, which means garment, in Hebrew also is the same root as the word god or live god, which means what? It means to deceive, to be treacherous, to be a traitor. A bogeid is a traitor. So here he's devoted to his father. He loves his father. He himself is committed to truth, and he has to act in a way that is treacherous. He has to be a traitor to all that he believes in and all that his father represents. So the fact that he he's wearing the beged doesn't only mean that he's wearing a special garment, and we have a Kabbalah from Chazal where what that garment was. It's not just the garment, it's that he felt that he was a bogeid, that he was a traitor. This was treacherous. And when he appeared before his father with this broken heart, the father smelled the fragrance of the broken heart. That's what it means. The father, Yitzchak Avinu, smelled that fragrance. Of what? He says, he smelled the fragrance of Yaakov Avinu being brokenhearted that he was being dishonest, kivyachol, so to speak, that he wasn't being faithful to his father. And we find this, as a matter of fact, Chazal say in the Medrash, Chazal tells in the Medrash, that when it says in the Pasuk, Vayorech is Reach Begodov, when it says Vayorech is Reach Begodov, so Chazal already had told us that he's alluding to Reach Bogdov, means that Yitzchak Avinu was able to smell in the future all those Jews who would rebel against Hashem. He already was able to detect this. All Jews in the future who would be unfaithful to Hashem. Yitzchak smelled this. So Chazal already have shown us that the word begodav, garment, is connected to the word bogdav, the one who's rebelling, who's treacherous. But here, Reb Leibel is telling us what was the delicious smell. Haynu shahaya Yaakov Avinu olav shalom kibogeid be'enei atzma. Yaakov Avinu looked at himself. Yaakov Avinu saw himself as the biggest bogeid. Thank you very much. He saw himself as the most horrible traitor, as the greatest bogeid in the world. That's what Yitzchak Avinu was able to smell. That smell of a Jew whose heart was broken. of a Jew who felt that he wasn't living up to Hashem's expectations, of a Jew who felt that he wasn't faithful to his father. That's the fragrance of begodav, of the treachery. Meaning of Yaakov's feeling that he hasn't been faithful. It's the same thing when you have like a stick, like a cinnamon stick. When you break the cinnamon stick, then its smell becomes even greater. The fragrance is even stronger when it's broken. She says, "Kach ayidei shviras lev Yaakov Avinu olav shalom." So too, because of Yaakov Avinu's heart being broken, because of how he felt about himself, how he saw himself, me'abegidash also lefi daito, because of what he considered to be a treacherous act, but he had to do because he was forced to by his mother, but he felt that this was wrong. Kiriach Yitzchak etzem kedushas Yaakov. Yitzchak was able to smell the essence of who Yaakov was. Just like when, God forbid, any of us, if we could be very confident, we could be very tough, we could be very cool, and we don't realize, at the time that we think that we're coolest, that we're the toughest, we stink. We smell bad. Smells bad. And the tzaddik can pick up on that right away. Tzaddik can pick up. I mean, the rest of the friends, the rest of the chevra might think that that's very good. But the tzaddik right away smells that. When a person, however, is humble, when a person feels brokenhearted, so it could be in our eyes someone that it could be someone that looks to us like a rush, like a nobody. But the tzaddik sees the greatness of that person because he smells the fragrance of a humble heart. That's why, God forbid, any of us chalila have to go through something that's very humiliating, something that's very humbling. So at that time we might feel like something smells bad, but Yitzchak Avinu and Hashem, Dafka smells something very delicious. We would never ever imagine that smells good. That Hashem could be thinking at that moment, this is the first time in your life that you've actually been real. Your whole life you're an actor. Your whole life you're faking. And finally your heart is broken. So that's like the cinnamon stick. Your atzei b'samim that's broken in half. Vayarech is reach begodav. That Hashem smells a Jew when the Jew feels brokenhearted, that he's unfaithful to Hashem. To Hashem, that's a very wonderful smell. That's what it says. V'amar re'ei re'ach b'ni. So he says, this is the fragrant smell of my son. That's why, first it's re'ach begodav, and then it says of the garments, meaning of the treachery, and then it's re'ei re'ach b'ni k're'ach sadeh asher baruch Hashem. It smells like the delicious field that Hashem has blessed. And that field in Kabbalah is a very big inyan. Chagatapuchin, the orchard with the apples, it's not for people like us. But it's a very big inyan, that smell. Which Chazal say was the smell of Gan Eden. Was the smell of Gan Eden. So it's hard to believe. It very often happens in life that when we think we smell the worst, then the Baruch Shalom says you smell the best. When we think that we look the dumbest, then the Baruch Shalom says, for the first time you're something, you're someone. And there are many, many stories. There are many stories that you have like this, you know, of people who are tzibrochen, who are brokenhearted, that the tzaddik davka favored. There are many stories like this from Bechlal. I mean, the whole surah of the Rebbe of Zushia, was such a surah. But in the stories that we have of people who are davka, who are downtrodden, who are looked down upon, and in the eyes of the tzaddik, that person was the greatest of them all, was the hero of the story. There are hundreds of stories like this. Hundreds of stories like this. even there was a ma'aseh, they say, by the Rebbe Abunim from Peshischa, and they say also from the Chayzer, there was a ma'aseh that there was a person who was taken ahead of everybody. There are hundreds of people online, and the Chayzer took this Jew in. And the people were very upset because they saw him as somebody that was a sinful person, was not a true chassid, and yet the chayzer took him in immediately. And there are two versions. There are a number of versions. One version is that the chayzer said, the one that we don't really need to work on right now tonight. But one version is that the chayzer said, you know, most people. This is the opposite actually. But the chayzer said about this person. that he says, you know, all day long I'm talking to people who they've done terrible aveiros or small aveiros, and they feel totally miserable and sick and depressed. And but this fellow, I look forward to seeing him each time because he doesn't feel the slightest depression about his aveiros. He's such a mechai, you know. He's like, he's in a good mood, this guy. And it's wonderful to have someone that's purely besimcha. No, that's not what we're talking about tonight. The other version of the story, or maybe it happened a different time, was that the Chayzer said that, the Chayzer said about that person who he took in, even though he was a sinful person, the Chayzer said, you have no idea how much more I prefer a sinner who knows that he's a sinner than a tzaddik who thinks that, than a righteous one who thinks that he's righteous. This is the smell of a sinner that knows he's a sinner is much more pleasing to me than a righteous person who thinks that he's righteous, than a tzaddik who thinks that he's a tzaddik. Because that's the sweetness of a broken heart, of a Jewish heart that's broken. That to Hashem is re'reach beneath, kerech asada. That's what it means. You think that you're a bogey, you think that you're treacherous and you're unfaithful, and it could be you've done something wrong, in Echanam, it could be. And you think that there's the lowest time in your life, and it could be davka, now Hashem is smelling something that's coming from you that hasn't come from you all of the years, which is true humility. True and honest humility. And admitting that you've made a mistake. And to Hashem, that's the delicious fragrance of Reah Hasada of Gan Eden, of paradise. Now, on the second, let's turn to the next Torah. Now this is much more complicated. Anybody who's ever looked, I've mentioned this a few times, anybody who's ever looked into the writings of Reb Leibler knows that one of the most basic themes in all of his teachings is Kedushas HaBris, is the sanctity of the Bris Mila. And even though it's certainly is uncomfortable to talk about such things, Merabim in public, or certainly in a mixed group of people, I mean Hasidim and non-Hasidim, that's all I meant. So, it's uncomfortable. Nevertheless, what I think is very important is that people who do not study the Svarim properly and they see something like this, so they don't understand what the tzaddik is saying. And they look at it through the eyes of their own little problem or their own understanding of what the tzaddik is saying, and they fail to see the bigger picture, because in the writings of Rav Leibler and the writings of Rabbi Nachum Breslover, and at present times, in the writing of the great tzaddik who just was nifter, the Nesiva Shalom, the Slonimer, if you have a deeper understanding of what Kedushas HaBris means, and by the way, this applies to women as well, that's why there's nothing to be ashamed about, this applies to every Jewish person, they need of Kedushas HaBris, certainly more directly to men, but to women as well, and you'll see in a moment, it applies to everyone. So, this is a very major topic in Yiddishkeit, in the Svarim HaKedoshim. And there's nothing that's unbecoming. You just have to understand it the right way and what it means. So in this parasha, Reb Leibler has a Torah on this subject. He has in almost every parasha. He has. You probably can't find one parasha who doesn't deal with Kedushas HaBris. And it's a perfect example of how you and I can broaden our understanding of what this very important thing means, Kedushas HaBris. And to take it out of the realm of something which is just seen as some warning about people engaging in illicit sexual behavior. That's not what this piece is about. Certainly that would be the outcome if one would be more careful, but that's not what the piece is about. That's not what Kedushas HaBris, it doesn't only mean that. Just like, of all the characters in the entire Tanakh, the one who we associate most with in this area is Yosef HaTzadik, Tzadik Yisod Olam. And Tzadik Yisod Olam means that in this area, Yosef excelled more than anybody else. Tzadik Yisod Olam is Yosef. And if one does not see the entirety of the person, so you're wondering, well, what do you see with this Indian of Yosef? Okay, he had one Maisa with the wife of Potiphar. So that's it. For that, he got the title. I also had problems I overcame. So they should call me also to your side. I should also be Tzadik Yisod Olam. Right? So if we think that, we're missing the point. Because now we don't understand what does it mean, tzaddik? What's a tzaddik? What's yisoid oilam? Tzaddik yisoid oilam? And we fail to see the bigger picture of who Yosef HaTzadik was. And we're his children. We're She'eris Yosef. All Jews are called She'eris Yosef, even though we might not biologically be from Yosef HaTzadik. But the Jewish people are called as a whole She'eris Yosef. Yosef. Noheik Ketzoin Yosef. We're the descendants of Yosef. That means we have the ability to succeed in this war. And this war over Kedushas HaBris is everything. It's your entire Yiddishkeit. For men and women, it's one's entire Yiddishkeit. And it's what is most threatened right now before Mashiach comes. The greatest Yetzirah is Davki in this area to destroy, not the Muna. Nowadays you can be the biggest Mammon. You daven three times a day. You even go to a mikveh, you wear a gartel, you belong to all the right groups, you daven in the right shuls. Everything looks good. In this Inyan of Kedushas HaBris, here is the greatest, the last of all the Nisyonos of our people till the end of time. The test of Yosef HaTzadik. Because if you know a little bit about these things, that before David comes Yosef, right? You know, Nishpizen. Where we go by Nishpizen with that, according to the Ari HaKadosh, you know that Yosef has to come before Malchus. Yosef comes before Malchus and Mashiach. The kingdom of Mashiach can be revealed only through the work that we do, Davke, in this area that's called Yesod, foundation. And Davke here is the greatest test of our generation. This is the test of our generation. Not whether you're going to wear yarmulke, whether you're going to... These are kais, the oldness, yainness. But the ikah and yisayin, you can tell a person will wear tzitzis down to the floor, and he'll grow a nice beard, and he'll even go to the daf yomi. And all the, but to part with the television set, right? To part with that, to be able to make a statement, I've had enough of tumah. I've had enough, and to be sensitive to what tumah is. that's the hardest thing in the world. I see the finest, nicest Jews, learned people, who have a hard time with this Indian. And it affects us, it affects our children. And we have to understand what it means. For men and women, what does it mean? And to make believe it's not an Indian is silly. It's babyish. So let's learn a classic piece from a label on this Indian. Na'ela told us Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram heilid is Yitzchak. It's the last two lines on that page, and then we'll just continue. So it says in the Pasuk, these are the offspring of Yitzchak, the son of Avram. Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. Now, all the Mefarshim, of course, are troubled by this pasuk, which seems to be redundant. Ela told us Yitzchak ben Avram. Avram heilid is Yitzchak. These are the generations, the offspring of Yitzchak, the son of Avram. Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. We know that Yitzchak ben Avram was Avram heilid is Yitzchak. What do you have to say? That's obvious. So, see my pasuk near el chayr kemiuta. So Rav Leibler says that the end of the pasuk seems to be redundant. It seems to be extra. He cracked the last page. No, it's not the last page. It's the third page. You got the page after that, right? I hope that. Yeah, no, I gave it to. Oh, it's no good. All right. You're supposed to have the fourth one, but it's all right. I don't think we're going to get to it anyway. But I'll have to remember to bring it. Okay. This is near lachari kemiuta. Why he quarks it? Because it's already written Yitzchak ben Avram. So we already know who he is. Why do you have to say Avram heilid is Yitzchak? Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. Yesh loimer al pi asher hurgalnu. It didn't come out in the photos that he says. This has to be explained with a concept that I've. Rav Leibler says that I've mentioned in a number of places. This, by the way, is a unique Rav Leibler concept. Rav Leibler will always discuss what number parasha it is in Sefer Bereishis, Sefer Shemos. Which parasha is it? Is it the first, second, third, or fourth? And based upon Chesed, Gemur, Tiferes, he goes through the parashas in the order of the spheres. You find this in Rav Leibler all the time. So he says, Yishon HaPiyah Shehugal Nolayma Shasidra Shishis. So Toldos is the sixth parasha. The Torah is the sixth sedra. Now the number six, of course, always means Yisod. It means Yosef, right? So he says, Shasidra Ashishis who connected me this Hayisod. When you look through Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamid, Vedvarim, and you study the sixth parasha, you will see all over the place, from beginning till end, the Inyan of Kedushas HaBris, Yisod, in the sixth parasha. Because sixth, in the order of this, in the order of Chesed, the lower spheres, right? Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hoyt, Yisod, and then Malchus. Yisod, which means foundation, is the sixth of the spheres. Therefore corresponds to the sixth Sedra in each Sefer. Who connected Midas HaYisod? Rosa de Bris Kayoma Kadisha, which is the mystery of the Holy Bris, the Holy Covenant. Bris Kayoma Kadisha, the everlasting Holy Covenant. It doesn't sound Jewish when you say it like that, so I'd like to stick to the Hebrew, if we can. But that's Rosa de Bris Kayoma Kadisha, the perpetual and Holy Covenant of the Bris. Ashehu Inyan Kiyama Nitzchi Le'ol Mayad. The covenant means making it to the end. That's what the covenant means. A bris means it's not going to stop. That's the purpose of every bris. The purpose of when two friends make a bris between them, right? They make an agreement, they make a covenant. Two friends make a bris between them, they make an agreement between them. That means that this friendship is going to endure. No matter what. Nothing is going to get in the way of this friendship. So they might do different symbolic things. But the point of the covenant means that each side is committed to this relationship, and this relationship must continue and must be able to overcome all hurdles and all obstacles that are in the way. That's what a bris means. That's a covenant. And therefore it's through the covenant that the Jewish people have with Hashem that we believe that we're going to last till the end of time. That we believe that our presence and our purpose, even though there are unbelievable obstructions, unbelievable things that are in the way, that ultimately the Jewish people will make it to the end. That we have a kiyum, we're permanent. That's the covenant. V'nei amru zal, chazal of Torah, ein habris nikra ela al shem Yitzchak. Now, Yitzchak Avinu, of course, was the first to have a bris on the eighth day. Yitzchak is the beginning of the world of Kedushas HaBris from the time of being an infant. It's the beginning of the Seder of the bris. Brisi Yitzchak, there's Brisi Yitzchak, the Bris of Yitzchak Avinu. You know, the Sfadim have a whole Seder the night before the Bris. They have a whole Seder with unbelievable, beautiful piyutim and songs and tefillos. They stay up the whole. We have a Vachnach. The Sfadim have it's called Bris Yitzchak. Ain habris nikra al shem Yitzchak. Nezel ve'ela told us Yitzchak. This is the meaning of, this is the offspring of Yitzchak. What does it mean, offspring? Toldos means the ability to perpetuate. The ability to reproduce. Right? That something shouldn't stop. in order to be able to make it to the end, you have to be able to continue beyond the present. So, Ela told us Yitzchak, these are the offspring of Yitzchak. Hayu hakiyim hanitzchi, hanimshach mibchinas Yitzchak, which means the permanent, and enduring reality that will come forth from Yitzchak, Shehu Yaakov, which begins, of course, with Yaakov. And the entire Jewish people are named after Yaakov. We are B'nai Yisrael, the people of Yisrael. Asher Olav Nemar, regarding Yaakov, it says, Ki Yaakov Bochar Lo Ka, that Yaakov was chosen by Hashem. Skip the brackets, just a few lines down. Vihine, Gam Parshas Noach Maschil Eila told us. Now we're familiar with that opening of a parasha, because Parshas Noach begins also. Eila told us Noach. Noach is Sadi. That's how Parshas Noach begins. Vigam Sham Hadiktuk Mahur. And there too, we have to understand it in the same context. Shemaschil Lasapra told us of Shal Noach. The Torah begins to tell, to discuss the offspring, the children of Noach. Umesaima Pasuk, and but the Pasuk ends, Noach is Tzadik. Noach was a righteous man. V'yadua Shom Joshua's Chazal Ika told the same Shal Tzadik Masim Toivim. So Chazal tell us that the real offspring of a Tzadik are his good deeds that he gives birth to. Yeshlom Agam Kena Perish Kidvarenu Ikra Talod, the Hainu Akim Anitzi Shul Bechinus Tzadikim. You see the point where Leibler says, what does it mean that the main offspring of a tzaddik are his good deeds? He says because there is no value to having a child if the child does not continue in the way that you gave him. There's no point to it. I mean, maybe it's fun, it's cute, you get to sing a lullaby, you get to put on a little bow tie, make a ponytail, but in terms of the bigger picture. Tell the same shall tzaddikim as masim toivim, which means that ability to live on beyond yourself, that ability to make something eternal, that's not going to happen just by having kids. By having kids, the child could destroy everything that you believed in. The child could put an end to all that you struggled for. But the toldos of a tzaddik, Tadlasem Shal Tzadikim, is that his way, that truth, should be able to go weiter. Nothing should get in the way. Should be able to continue. That's what he says. Yeshua Gam King of Pesh Kedavarenu. Ikra Talod Ahainu Akim Anissi Shabchinu Tzadikim. Hu Maisim Toivim Kiyadu Amilas Toiv Al Rosa De Bris. Now here are code words. You have to learn that Reb Leibler is introducing certain words that were understood in the Zohar and the Ari to be code words to indicate Kedushas HaBris, the sanctity of the covenant. Tov, the word Tov, it's a good word, it means good. Tov, in the Zohar, is Rosa de Bris, goodness, that which is good. Again, Tov is something that continues. Tov means something which is good. If something is good only for this moment, it has very little meaning. Good means, like when Hashem created the world, Vayalakim, Asa'or, Tov doesn't mean that Hashem said, hey, this is really nice. In the world, everybody says about everything, this is really nice, but nothing lasts, nothing means anything. Tov means when something is true today, it's true tomorrow, and it's true forever. That's good. Every other interpretation of good is not Jewish. It's not from the Torah. Good doesn't just mean this is a good, you know, this is a good piece of candy. this is a good table. This is a good fixture. Good means something which it continues. That's why Hashem, when he created the world, it says Kito. But Kito means it has a Kiyum. Kiyum is, I mean, this is something which is going to be. It's going to continue. Shua Kiyum Vahanitzchias, which means for something to continue forever. The word Tov, good, implies the covenant. It implies the covenant because you remember covenant means when something perpetuates, when something goes right, it continues. Then the Torah goes on to say, how did this tzaddik continue beyond his life? So it says, Vayelonoch, that Noach gave birth, and it tells us who his children were. Hashem is coming in the office, the Torah tells us. Omnam b'shleishas banav elu, lahayirak echad shemimenu hayesh dalshulis ha'asorah doris adavram. But really, from those three children, Shem, Cham, and Yafes. Cham and Yafes are not in the covenant. Cham and Yafes have brought misery to this world. There is only one of those children who continued in the covenant. who took East Tzaddik, Noach East Tzaddik, and made Noach East Tzaddik of Vayta. Continue. And that, of course, is our ancestor, Shem. The Gamla, Hoy Oid Behem Eschol is Binyan HaKadusha. And that structure of holiness was not to be built. Was not to be built through Cham and Yofes. There was no structure of Kedusha, of holiness, that would be built from those two people. From Shem would begin the structure of holiness. Ki ein unnechshavim al shemam. Ki yedua hanoidim ben Noach muta bezera Avram. Halachically, you know, we are not considered, even though it's true that biologically we are descendants of Noach, right? Biologically we're descendants of Noach, but it would be a very big insult to tell a Jew, you're a very nice Ben Noach. You wouldn't say that to a Jew, you're a Ben Noach. It would be a compliment for a non-Jew to say you're a Chosh of a Ben Noach. That's a compliment for a non-Jew. But for a Jew to say you're a Ben Noach, I'm not a Ben Noach. But the person could prove biologically that you are. But something changed. What changed was through Shem and Avraham Avinu. We are the children of Avraham. We are the descendants of Avraham Avinu. Therefore, if somebody makes an oath that I will never benefit at all from a Ben Noach, he says, I'm never going to derive any pleasure, any benefit from Ben Noach. He takes an oath. The Gemara says he's allowed to derive benefit from a Jew. Because Ben Noach does not mean a Jew. It doesn't. The two other sons, Shem, Cham and Yafes, that would continue in their world. But something changed. The Gamba Avram Atzmo. And he goes on. Odlon is Bar Hakim Mishlemish. And now he's saying that even in the life of Avraham, this was not clear yet. It was not purified yet that the Jewish people would be able to continue, that Avraham Avinu's message would be able to make it, that the covenant would be a lasting covenant. It wasn't yet clear. Why? Ki harlet gamken kama talal d'sheinim sheyachim l'kedusha. You know, Avraham Avinu had a number of children. It's not the question is not which wife, but Avraham Avinu had a number of children. And from those children, just like Noah had children. Noah had children. But it's through Shem that this would go and make its way to Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu had a number of children as well. But they have no connection to holiness. They're not part of the covenant. The enemy Yuchosim Akrav Klal. They're not considered to be his descendants. They're not called his descendants. This line that's constantly brought up in the peace negotiations with our enemies, with the children of Yishmael, that isn't the problem with our cousins. We can't get along with our cousins. it's a quaint little thing to say, but at the same time, it's obscene. That's not my cousin. They're not our cousins. In the Shoyrish, in the beginning, biologically, so I'm also a Ben Noah. But when it says, Ki be Yitzchak, Yikar lechazora, be Yitzchak v'loi b'kol Yitzchak, so something changed. Because the covenant is not just a question of biology. The covenant is a question of ideology. And ideology means that there was something that was there that only the Jewish people have chosen to perpetuate. And that bris of Avraham Avinu would continue through Yitzchak and through Yaakov. Ve'enim yuchasim achrav klal. Enim yuchasim achrav klal. They have no yichus. They're not considered the children of Avraham. They can call themselves. They could build a mosque or church that says the sons of Abraham. It doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything. Just like the Pope could put on a kaplik, could put on a shtreimel, as men gornish. Doesn't make a difference what he wears on his head. It doesn't make a difference. He's not a meyuchas. See, he could tie into it, even I come from Esau. I'm a meyuchas. I'm a meyuchas. Bach acher hi moilai, she nichnas b'midas ha-yesayit. After Avraham Avinu received his bris, after the bris, that covenant that is on that part of the body that is able to bring about the perpetuation, that is able to bring about the continuation of the family. That's what it means, Kedushas HaBris. The Ois Bris Kodesh, that's in that part of the body, that gives the ability to go beyond one's life. That's that has that koach to go right, to go beyond. So Avraham Avinu, when he entered into that bris, it means that he was entering into this midah, this quality that's called yesod, that's called foundation. Then began that long journey that we're still part of that covenant. And he gave birth to that child, Yitzchak, regarding whom the Torah says that your seed shall be named after him. Not any other child, not any other descendant, only through Yitzchak. All the other nations of the world who trace themselves back to Avraham Avinu, and including our cousins, who trace themselves back to Avraham Avinu, they are no longer called the children of Avraham. Because they're not part of the covenant. They were rejected from the covenant. And that's why you have to realize that when did Avraham Avinu have his bris? And when did he give, and when was Yitzchak, when did Yitzchak come to the world? And the chronology here is very important, as opposed to Yishmael. V'hinei miYitzchak yotza oyed gamken habsoilus v'aklipa. Now at this point, Yitzchak Avinu, who was continuing in the bris, there still was something there that had to be clarified and had to be removed. And well, Achrei Kain, finally, that's why Yitzchak had a son that was also not holy, that wasn't pure, that was ultimately rejected. And well, Achrei Kain, Yotza Yaakov, but then would come Yaakov, who Yaakov Shleimed the Avon, the chosen and the most perfect. Yaakov already means Yisrael, the Jewish people. From the time of Yaakov and on, it already has become permanent. Yaakov's children, each of Yaakov's children will be able to continue with the covenant. Avram had a son that did not continue. Yitzchak had a son that did not continue. All of Yaakov's children are going to make it, are continuing to the end. Shua Birur Ha'amiti La'ol Me'ad, which is the ultimate clarification forever and ever. V'olav nemar ki b'yitzchak yukara chazara. V'olav muzal b'yitzchak v'lo kol yitzchak. That's the rejection of anybody who claims to be the descendants of Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu. Hayin l'sharak Yaakov. Only Yaakov. Hu ha'nikra zera Avram. Only Yaakov Avinu and his children, that's us, are now called the descendants, the seed of Avraham. V'kol zaro kulam b'shem Yisrael yichaynu, and therefore all of us are called the children of Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael. Vehem heim zera Avram. They alone are the descendants of Avram. Vezehu ve'ela told us Yitzchak ben Avraham. This is the deeper meaning of the pasuk. Ve'ela told us Yitzchak ben Avraham. These are the offspring of Yitzchak, the son of Avram. Hainu kanal. This, what does this mean? Hayesoid v'hakim hanimshach miYitzchak. This is the covenant. This is what is going to be everlasting, that's going to be permanent, that's going to go to the very end of time. That comes from what? Eila told us Yitzchak ben Avraham, that comes out from Yitzchak, Vakim and Nimshach, Yitzchak, Shabris Nikra al Shema, who's called the one of the Bris. Avram Hoylid is Yitzchak. So why does he have to say at the end of the Pasuk, again, Avram Hoylid is Yitzchak, Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. Hoylid hu loshan mafil. In Diktuk, it means causing, right? Avram Hoylid is Yitzchak. What does that mean? Hainush al Yidesha Nichnas Barozah de Bris. That because Avram Avinu, in other words, where does Yitzchak Avinu have the strength, the power, the energy to bring into the world a Yaakov? That Yaakov should be that one who is the father of the Jewish people till the end of time. Where did Yitzchak receive such power? So the answer is, Avraham, by coming into the Bris Milah, when he was an old man, and engraving the covenant upon that part of his body, the flesh, that part. So Avram Avinu was the one who made it possible. Avram Hoylid is Yitzchak. Avram gave birth to this possibility of there being an eternal people. It's because Avraham Avinu entered into the bris. Because he took it upon himself by his own, that he entered into the bris at that time in his life. So Avraham hoyled his Yitzchak. Hainu sh'aydei sh'nichnas b'rozah the bris sh'oz nishtalim l'ikari sh'may Avraham. That his name was complete, not Avraham, Avraham. He is the one that gave Yitzchak the ability. Avraham hoyled his Yitzchak. He gave birth to the kind of a Yitzchak that could have a Yaakov. In other words, the point here is not just Eidel tells Yitzchak and Avraham that there's a child whose name is Yitzchak and his father is Avraham. The issue here is, can Yitzchak create more Avrahams? You understand? Can he do that? Will Yitzchak be able to bring into the world more Avrahams? More of what that means? So that's the end of the pasuk, yes. Avraham hoyled his Yitzchak. Avraham, who entered into the covenant, into the bris, he gave the ability to Yitzchak that he should be able to reproduce such a people, to be able to continue and to reproduce these people. which is the kiyam Yaakov, you know, means till the end of time, the Jewish people. Am Yisrael Chai, till the end.
Why should Yitzchak have at least 50% of his offspring?
You see, it's not a question of why there was a Metzius in the world that's discussed at length in the Zohar and the Kisveri. In order for something to be refined, it has to pass through the painful process of catharsis, of being put through a strainer, of being put through a strainer. There was a process here that took place. There was something yet that had yet not been completely refined. I'm not going into that right now. Chesed and Din, in all steps leading to perfection. Just like you have people that they go through difficulties in life, and they give birth along the way. They give birth to things that now they look back upon and say, "This is something that is not really me. It's not an extension of myself." But instead it's a reflection of whatever was imperfect that remained, any residue of imperfection. And since Chazal revealed to us that this perfection had to go through three stages, until Yaakov would have a situation where it would be mitoso shlema, where his bed, meaning his offspring, were complete. And that's why Yaakov Avinu had to go through this whole inyan of Rachel and Leah, which is such an amazing thing. Just like your nisyonos are greater than your kids, but it's because of your nisyonos you can have kids that you have Baruch Hashem nachas from. Yeah, my father's nisyonos are much greater than mine. The nisyonos that they went through were much greater than ours. But that's a process also of refinement, of being put through certain things, and the Baruch Hashem knows who could be put through it. See, even though it's true, Yaakov is called the chosen of the others, but you're right, in terms of the pain and the struggle, do we understand Yitzchak is the most silent of all the others. Yitzchak was always my favorite. Honestly, he was always my favorite. But the tzaddikim say Yitzchak, I always say, is a Yid is a tzaddik, a chazad, a kodesh. Right? A Yehudi, a Jew is a tzaddik, a chazad, a kodesh, that's the always is Yitzchak, right? Yitzchak is the only one whose name didn't change. Avraham becomes Avraham, Yaakov becomes Yisrael, but Yitzchak like Yitzchak. Yitzchak never left Eretz Yisrael. Right. You would think. And even in terms of the Akedah, all the Schar seems to us to be attributed to his father. Even though it's called Akedah Yitzchak. But when you look at it, the Nisayin was Avraham Avinu's Nisayin. Even though Yitzchak was 37 years old. According to Chazal, he was 37 years old. Even Ezra says, if you ask me, it doesn't look like it, but it's a Kabbalah, I'm a Kabbal, you know, but he was 37 years old. And I always thought that the greatest Akedah of Yitzchak was that Yitzchak wanted it to look this way. That's the greatest sacrifice he made, was that everybody, when they open Tanakh, they'll think that he was some kid that didn't know what he was doing. That's what he gave up. And that's part of the process of refinement. Just like a father, the father goes through certain things that the kids should have things a little bit easier, or a lot easier. What Avraham Avinu went through and what Yitzchak went through was so that there could be a Yaakov. And unfortunately, in that process, there was a residue of impurity that turned out Yishmael and Esav, which we still have tzaras from. But this is a big inyan. It's a very, very big inyan. It's the foundation of who we are. It's the essence of the Jewish people. It has to be understood. And when a Jew understands this properly, the inyan of the covenant, of the bris, so he doesn't say, my cousin. He doesn't say, so these Lashonis, my cousin. And he's not embarrassed about being a Jew. When you understand the sod, the roza of the bris, of the bris mila, of kedushas of bris, he's not embarrassed to be a Jew. But now you have Jews, even that they're embarrassed to be Jews. The same gam, the blemish of the bris, of the ois bris kodesh, leads the Jews who are assimilated. What does it mean, assimilation? Assimilation means that Avraham Avinu didn't go weiter. Do we understand the pain of Avraham Avinu seeing his children? How many of us are left? How many of us are left? That Avraham Avinu didn't go weiter. What's assimilation? Assimilation means that we're pagam habris. It's a terrible thing. That Avraham Avinu stands by the opening to Gehenna. Chazal tells Avraham Avinu stands there, and as long as there's a bris, he finds a way to get you in, right? It's gemal. What does that mean? That means that there's a trace of who you are, of who you really are. That it went vaita, somehow it ended up in you. It doesn't mean that it ended up in you because you're able to say a couple of nice Yiddish words. You know, like one of these comedians that had a Jewish grandmother. So he's able to say, give up the fish, and everybody laughs in the audience. It means bamasi. The traits of the Jewish people to continue to the end of time. It's a very serious matter. We're not going to have time to go vaita with this, which we need to. But please don't lose the pages, because even though it's going to be next week, we're not having a shiur. I'm going to be in Mitzvah Shem and a Simcha.